Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Almost Famous Minute, where we're discussing the 2000 Cameron Crowe film, Almost Famous, 1 minute at a time. I'm Eric Nash from Watchmen Minute.
I'm Megan Coleman from MASH Minute.
And I'm Alan Sanders from The Wilder Ride.
Hey, thank you both for coming back. It's been a week here, right? Since that good old Minute 55.
You know what I love about being here is the concert tickets are a lot more affordable than where I come from.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
1970 prices are a lot more affordable.
Pre-Ticketmaster, I assume. I assume they weren't. Maybe they were kind of something then, but they weren't so damn expensive.
You know, I remember, though, going to the record store, whatever the record store, for us it was called Turtles, but we had like a Record World and a world, something Record and Tapes. But yeah, you would have to stand in line to get your concert tickets from your record stores. And they had like a really, you know, dot matrix printer hooked up, which was really technology. And they would just start printing tickets as they could get them, as however they were like feeding them out. And I loved it. I went to go see so many concerts when I was this age, this kid's age, when I could, well, maybe a little older, because I could drive. The minute I got a car, I was like, oh, so many of these kids just going to see band after band because you could afford it. I don't know how people go see concerts today. I can't afford it. I'm an adult.
It's crazy how expensive tickets are now.
Yeah, and I personally don't, haven't made it to many concerts in over my life, but you know, like one of the last ones I did, especially before the pandemic era here that we're in, was last summer, and it was Weird Al. And it was that, you know, that's the most I've ever
that's
seen.
That's awesome.
He's awesome.
Yeah, first time seeing him. I wish I had seen him like the previous time or two at the same venue here in Ohio, that where he was doing more the acoustic version, whatever, the prior times. This one was with strings attached, I think, or strings attached, you know, where the local Philharmonic got involved and help back him up. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. But those, like I said, I mean, my point being, those were expensive tickets for me. It's like, oh boy, I just was not used to. I mean, I was used to, especially like I mentioned last minute, being in a fraternity and essentially getting to see stuff for free because it was on our lawn and so forth.
Those are always that's nice. The best price. Now I find myself finding, where's the closest like cover band or band that's trying to emulate, you know, where they're hey, we're the Beatles tribute band or the whatever, like, yeah, I can afford those tickets. Music sounds good, I'm okay, it's a live event, I can be close.
Well, that's it for concert talk, I think, but no.
Welcome to Concert
Talk coming up. Oh no! We can do it. We can go on tangents all day. but seriously, this is minute 56 here this week, and it starts with an invitation to a party and ends with Russell and the teens waving to William. A friendly wave, kind of a high wave. It's a mostly high wave, but not no goodbye waves, thankfully. High waves in two different aspects. Different meanings.
Yeah.
Are they on the high wave to hell?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh, very good.
I like that. Very clever.
I ain't got much, but I'll take it.
So we get, you know, Russell is I think finishing the Russell from Stillwater, but then the main brunt, you know, of the minute, you know, getting to the party and so forth. The guy driving the van saying, "You want to go to a party with me at my friend Aaron's house?" So, crazily in the credits, I'm gonna have to go double check this just before I, because I don't know that I really figured this out. Aaron credits is someone, Chris McElprang. So I think at the very end of this minute is when we, or maybe the next when we see him. This friend, he's not noted as being Aaron's friend. This guy might is just one of these other concert goers and what have you. I think noted in the IMDb credits as well as the script that we got. But he does bring down this question, you know, this invitation. You know, he kind of says, you know, "I know you're a big rock star and all, but do you want to hang with some good people looking to have a good time?"
It reminded me of what we were talking about in the last episode, about how big is Stillwater at this point, because it almost feels like, "I know you're a big rock star and all." It almost feels weird that this kid's saying that, because for him, okay, you play on stage, you're the rock star, but he's walking alone on a street with a young kid who's taking notes. Or, I mean, he's not really looking like a rock star, right? So I still don't feel like that. It just feels like, hey, you're just more famous than anybody I know.
Yeah, how much of it's just flattery?
It's all, like, he's,
maybe if I flatter you, you'll say yes.
Wait a minute, here you go. It's like he's almost famous.
Yeah.
Right. Oh.
we're going to keep finding those, because we've definitely had that a couple times already, I believe. But yeah, that's going to keep happening, I'm sure. And then something that's not in the script that I had found, but just on all the repeated listens, I hear, you know, right after the "have a good time" line is one of the other guys in the van saying, "Come on, man." And then the even more usage of the word "man," which is, you know, and this is what hooks Russell into going, is, or part of at least what he hooks him into going, is, "We're just real Topeka people, man." So, you know, from the last minute or two, really, all the talk of Russell's of real people, real things, real things come up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, there's the other thing that kind of, I think, also gets Russell into wanting to go, is that the other guy in the van says, "Smoke some righteous weed." But it almost seems like he you know, on his face and so forth, you can see he's kind of coming around, I think more so because of the mention of real Topeka people.
What I like about the moment, though, between Russell and William is, it's almost like the kid is the more responsible one. He's like, you know, shakes his head like, "No, this is bad. We should not do this." Yep. I don't know. Is he channeling his inner mom? Is he worried about what may happen to does he feel, because I pulled Russell away from maybe everybody else while we're talking, will I be held responsible? Is this going to, he just is like, no, let's not go there.
He should have yelled at Russell, "Don't take drugs." he kind of has that moment a couple times coming up, though, in a few next minute or two. You know, I mean, it seems like they get in the van, you know. I mean, we don't actually see that, but they pull into this house party. This van does. And they come jumping out of it. So, you know, it's a nice thing. We don't have to see them actually load in and all that. With plot holes and all that. That's a plot hole. No. Come on.
No, I think it's one of those moments where storytelling, they're being very expedient. It's not, I don't need to see him open a door, crawl in, say, "Hey man, move over," and put the car in drive and go. Yeah. We get it. they're pulling into the next scene. It's obvious they got in the car.
Yep.
Or the VW party wagon.
which kind of looks like the coolest car there.
Yeah.
When they pull in, well, right? Yeah. There's like some stuff that looks like it's from the 50s and there's like a bug, but.
Well, there is a station wagon here that has that on the tailgate.
Yeah.
They have the couple.
Right. With maybe a cooler with beer. Cooler. I don't know. Yeah.
Say, don't knock the station wagons.
Can I ask y'all a question? Have you ever gone to, or when you were a teenager, have you ever had a party like this? Because it's in all the movies, the iconic, there's no parents and there's just this massive, everyone's doing stuff in every room. There's people all around. I've been to parties. I've never been the ones that ever match what I see in the movies.
Nope.
Well, again, I mean, not high school. I was not much of a party goer and so forth in high school. But yeah, again, with college and fraternity, kind of similar. You know, but it wasn't a parent's house, so.
There's one thing if you're at a fraternity on a college campus,
yeah, right?
Like Animal House, I understand.
Yeah, we had a cabin in the, like an abandoned cabin in the woods that everyone would go to in high school to drink because we lived in the woods. So that was like the part, if you went partying, that's where you went was, and I don't know why we thought it was cool because you had to hike half a mile to get to said abandoned cabin to go drinking and smoke pot. But, and we called it Valhalla because we thought that was really cool.
I love it.
I don't know.
Valhalla.
That was my high school partying. Valhalla, yeah.
That's awesome.
And they play Led Zeppelin and Eagles and like whatever weird 80s records we could find. And, you know. But that's apparently what you do in rural New Hampshire, right? Like.
Now, I do think everybody may have that story, whether they've gone to this big giant house party. I think there's always been sort of that gathering of where we're doing things we're not supposed to do, but we're trying to do it in a way that we don't get caught. And so walking half a mile into the woods seems totally fine to me.
Right? It's totally normal, right?
Like as an adult, I'm like, no, I'm going to walk 30 feet to my refrigerator. It's right over there. Okay. I'm not walking fucking half a mile. I'm sorry. I don't know if I can swear. Sorry. I'm not walking. Okay. Half a mile for a beer. Okay. I'm at a point where I can send my kids go to the store and buy me beer. That's a great thing about having kids. They grow up, they get old enough that they're legal and you can send them on beer runs. Mommy and daddy have been drinking all day. We need you to go to the store. You think I'm joking?
I have an almost 2-year-old who's like, you know, has no fear of death and thinks she should just climb on bookcases and, you know, jump off the top of the slide. So, you know,
that's wild.
That seems like a long way off.
Yes, it is. It is.
Did it's... you not kill yourself first?
Oh, you've got so many adventures.
Is she alive?
You have so many adventures between now and then. She still thinks you're cool. You get to...
A dad's the cool one.
Oh, because I'll say
that's definitely the cool one.
But you get to that magic age where they hate you.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been a few times where I've gotten a glimpse of what 14 might look like, but she does this like political stump speech and she just like wags her finger at you and like tells you whatever she thinks is going on. And then she the other day told me it's not fair. And I was like, yeah, it's life. Welcome to it.
Welcome to the club. My two oldest, by the way, and I know this is a segue, but my two oldest that are college graduates, they now realize what adulting is. And they say this all the time, like, I don't want to adult anymore. Can I move back home? I don't like paying bills. I don't like having to cut grass. I thought it'd be so cool to rent a house. And then they said in the contract, you have to be in charge of your own lawn maintenance and shrubbery. We've got a pool fee we have to pay. And like, we thought it was all cool on paper, but it sucks.
Yeah, when my mom, when she fights naps, I'm like, someday you're going to miss these. Trust me.
Oh my God.
I think I'm crazy.
My girls say that all the time. They go, why did we fight nap time?
I know. What's funny is that I remember my gram telling me that when I was a kid, saying like, you should just take the naps. Now you're going to miss it. And I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. And like now I'm like, oh, crap. Gram, I'm so sorry. You were so right.
Absolutely. Oh.
Well, you know what, listeners? I know that free stuff is awesome, but free stuff to spice up your bedroom is even better. Through the Pantheon Network and this show, Almost Famous Minute, at Adam and Eve, you get to select almost any one item for 50% off. And then Adam and Eve loads on the free stuff. Just make sure you enter offer code AFMPOD at checkout and get 10 tantalizing free gifts. You can get a sexy item for him, a special gift for her, and a third item you'll both enjoy. And on top of all that, you also get 6 free spicy movies. Yeah, that's right, movies. I know you all like movies because you listen to this podcast about the movie Almost Famous. Finally, you also get free shipping. That's right. Can't do better than that. That's AFMPod, AFMPOD, at adamandeve.com. Just type in AFMPOD at checkout. It's all happening.
It's all happening.
Well, at about the halfway mark-ish, roughly, into this minute, because this has been like a good, you know, four and a half minutes then now that we haven't had any music in this music movie. So this is the right. Start of, it's all here and done within this minute. Just a small clip of Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere by Neil Young. Either of you have any thoughts on that album or that song from that album?
You know, I know several Neil Young songs,
yeah,
but I was never a huge Neil Young fan, so I don't have any, never collected any, not even a single CD or tape or album. So I know kind of the hits that I'd hear on the radio. I'd know his voice. Hmm. So I don't have as much to say on this particular song.
Sure.
But I do like the name that they chose because they're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that is a good little... I mean, just from that album. I mean, the whole album, in my opinion, is an excellent... All songs are wonderful rock, good rocking songs. And any of them could have been something that was that's played... but then the second song that we get of Neil Young's in this minute, that they cut away from Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere to a different Neil Young song, kind of maybe probably to show that some little bit of a passage of time, is Cortez the Killer. But yeah, Megan, do you have any thoughts on Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere or Cortez the Killer?
I don't really know Neil Young very well, to be honest. Maybe that's... He wasn't really in my parents' record collection. I mean, I know who he is. I'm not like that. Like, who's Neil Young? But now, I can't say I heard the song before.
Now, who I knew first before Neil Young was what he was part of. And there is my name that is part of the band as well. It's Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. Sometimes Young.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I really got to know Neil Young first myself. But... yeah, but neither of you also still with Crosby, Stills, and Nash? Neither of you with that either.
Hadn't heard that one either.
Wow. No. So let's flip it around on you. I'll play like mini host for a second. Okay, Eric, why don't you tell us about your experience with Neil Young?
Well, I mean this album, like I was saying, this is just such an excellent album. And I've gotten, it's probably the first solo one of his I think I got. And you know, I've gotten a few others here and there, but none of them quite hold the candle to this one. Actually, maybe Harvest Before This One, but that's a more schmaltzy pop oriented. Where, as I said, this is a rock, very rocking album.
Was okay, because I don't know off the top of my head these two songs, because again, I don't have a lot of their of his work. But what would be from this album specifically? What would be like the hit that maybe we would know? What got the album or the airplay?
Cinnamon Girl is the lead off track.
Okay, I know Cinnamon Girl.
Probably all the rest are not as radio friendly as that. That's really the highlight. As far as you know, mainstream radio friendly. I mean, there's two long songs, Down by the River, which, I mean, you can confuse it with something you were just saying last minute with SNL and Chris Farley. But it's definitely much more serious than that. Down by the River and Cowgirl in the Sand. those are two, you know, 9-10 minute long songs that while maybe I've heard either or both on the radio at some point, but you know, it's so often, you know, it's they cut them down to, as Billy Joel says, cut them down to 305.
Yeah,
but I doubt for either one of those that was ever happened to, and if I have heard either of those on the radio, it's likely they played the whole thing, you know, that they were just getting a little leeway. And
mm-hmm. Well, like I said, the long holiday weekend when they were just playing songs when no one was there.
Yeah, right.
Or like everybody that's ever worked as a DJ always knows the really long songs in case you're by yourself and you have to go to the bathroom.
Yep. Yeah, just put on a ton of long songs, and if you actually had the capability of doing playlists, you know, and get stuff queued up and continued on.
Yeah, no, not this day. This day you're either playing actual records. I think it's cool because we saw that earlier in the movie with the local small radio station spinning records with what's his name? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Philip Seymour Hoffman. Yeah, playing Lester Bangs, but the DJ Alice. Yeah. Was...
By the way, I know we don't get any minutes with him, but can I tell you what a loss? I still feel to this day when he died a drug overdose. I mean, such a talented guy. Every movie, whether he was only in it for a minute and a half or 2 minutes, or was a co-star, or was just sort of like in this sort of a character actor, stands out the second he's on screen. Mm-hmm. And you never forget him. He's just what an amazing talent. And to the scourge of drug abuse just taking him is just ridiculous. But I love everything he's ever in. There's not been a single Philip Seymour Hoffman role that I was like, that was weak. He phoned that in. I just never feel that way.
Yeah, there's one that I've kind of been meaning to get to for a little while now. One of his last roles, and the movie itself didn't get very good reviews, but I can't even remember the name, like something about Game, maybe some kind of spy ish movie, I think. But every time I've seen him though too, I agree. He you know, in all the cases I can think of, they are actually really good movies though too, in my opinion. But if I have seen a bad movie with him in it, I can't think of it.
Yeah, no, I can't at all. And he could play a bad guy. Mm-hmm. He could play a goofy guy. He could play a fun guy. He was a chameleon. He could morph into whatever you needed him to be.
Oh, yeah. You know, they make it into the house. And one of the crazy things that happens is that Russell freaks out over a lampshade. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up with that lampshade.
Okay, can I? For me, it seems like it's a throwaway line or something, or just kind of. I love it because it gives you a sense if they're living out of either a bus and hotels, that everything kind of starts to look the same. They all look like hotels, and to be in someone's actual house with maybe a really crappy piece of furniture, or really, you know, cheap. You know, something you buy at that time, maybe like at Montgomery Ward's or Sears or, you know, Kmart. But you remember because before you became anybody, you grew up with something like that. It's like that powerful memory of the past. It's like the same thing that happens with the kid talking about his sister leaving him the records we talked about last minute as a powerful moment for him. It's almost like, oh, my God, we had a freaking ugly ass lamp just like that.
Yeah, doesn't he say, I fucking love this kitchen?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's, yes. Yeah, that's the next line. Yeah.
Of the lampshade, like, this is home. I get this.
I think he says,
like,
it twice.
It's real.
Yeah, he goes, I love this kitchen. I fucking love this kitchen.
Like, okay.
And it's kind of amazing what I thought while that was happening. I mean, there's other people around, these other partygoers around. And it's kind of amazing to me that they're not, you know, paying more attention to him at that point. But I mean, I guess that's a good thing, you know. I mean, it's, you know, they're not they're not all fawning over him. I mean, there are certainly some points coming up where a lot of attention is being paid to him, but it's when he's going crazy over, you know, the lampshade in the kitchen that at those points people are just continuing on with their party.
Well, it's like the classic case of ignore the crazy guy, or it could be like we talked about last episode, me and Megan, they're just like, okay, he's a celebrity until he comes over and talks to us. Just, you know, stay cool. Mm-hmm. I actually think it's because they're not really paying a whole lot of attention to him because I don't think he's as big of a star as maybe he thinks he is.
Well, it sort of reminds me of like after when you have those high school parties, somebody who graduated like a year or two before who comes back and tries to act all cool and you don't know who they are. You're like, okay, yeah. Like, why aren't you partying with your college friends?
Yeah.
Like, I got a little hint of that too. Like, some of them are like, who's this guy?
No, that's a really good point. Him? Yeah. Like, he's just like the guy that's 2 or 3 years older knows it's easy to maybe score with a younger girl or something. So he's showing like, what's the old guy showing up at the party for?
Yeah, exactly. Like, who's he with again? Like, is he... Yeah.
but then, like I was saying, this attention, you know, really does seem to shift right at that, this 45 second mark when he gets out of the kitchen. Now it sure seems like Russell's William's still in the kitchen. You can see his shoulder and so forth while Russell has moved into the middle of the family room, living room, whatever this is, den almost, maybe with a huge majority of people in it, all very much looking at him, you know, at this point. These bubbles are being have been blown, it looked like. I'm not quite sure who. Actually, I think it is this. Yeah, okay, I can see her doing this. This woman that moves in between the camera and Russell, and then to the right side of him.
Uh-huh. Got her hair kind of braided, falling down on one shoulder.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, so she's the one that's been blowing these bubbles, and
I just, from a filmmaking perspective, I'm just wondering, like, here's camera code. Like, all right, I need something. I want to make it look kind of bubbly. I need a girl with just blow bubbles. Just until I say cut, just blow bubbles. But you don't think about it until you're like really paying attention. It's kind of a cool effect out of nowhere. You've got some freaking girl at a party going, I'm blowing bubbles.
it kind of reminds me of, you know, with what Penny does back in the hotel room that she enters and with William following her, and he's the reason she's there, supposedly. But that she enters and she just has to do this French stewardess thing. And so you get this somewhat similar situation where just, you know, whether it's drawing attention to yourself or other people, you know, getting attention drawn to you. So like I was saying, you know, it's you know, everyone at this point is really looking at him. And then we even then get this cut over to William taking notes at this party.
Mm-hmm. Hey, before we get to that, did you notice, and it's a very quick cut, there's a girl, just as the bubble girl kind of pulls off to one side of frame, it looks like another girl says, okay, I was told when she kind of pulls back, go up and start to make maybe a move on him before they cut.
Oh,
I was wondering
she's
kind of
moving towards Russell.
Yeah, like she puts her purse over her shoulder and like starts to make like she's going to go talk to him.
Yes, I see that now. Yeah.
Yeah, and there is no deleted scene at this point, but we'll be getting one next minute, as I think I mentioned to you guys, Megan and Alan. But yeah, I mean, there's no...
Yeah, back when we were in the green room before came on stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's no, you know, no indication I'm aware of that could have been more of any kind of a scene. I mean, you could almost imagine that, you know, and there's more some line of thinking that I have further down the road for, I think, the minutes after you're gone, unfortunately, but of, any kind of... making out or further exploits that Russell may do during his time here at this party.
Well, if you pause it, if you're able to pause it right at 50 seconds, they are making eye contact. It's obviously a direction she was told. All right, it's your turn to like move into the scene. And for whatever reason, maybe they cut a little bit and they never made it into a delete, but she was definitely making eye contact and he's looking right at her before they cut over to the shot of William taking notes and a girl coming and leaning over his shoulder, almost like a duality. you've got one girl who's showing an interest in the rock star, and there's another girl saying, "What are you writing there?"
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. To the next. Yeah, with William taking notes, and she's very yeah. And I love- she's got this crinkled nose and eyebrow area. Confused.
I love because she looks down, she looks up at a kid, then she looks back down, and then she's got this like, "Are you writing about him? Is he somebody famous? Is he almost famous?"
There we go.
Like she's trying to figure out why are you trying to write about this guy? It's obvious she knows because she reads a little bit of it, and then she immediately, like if you watch her head snaps to the focus point of where William's looking too, and it's like that look at her is like, Is he supposed to be somebody I know? Yeah, yeah. So
like, why are you here?
You're like not just like my brother's older college friend looking for a cheap beer, okay? Now let me ask you this, Eric, because you've seen this. This is your passion. William. In this moment, what we're talking about, where the girl's looking at as well, William is staring on and watching. He's kind of got a look almost of, I don't know if it's quite admiration, but it's certainly a, wow, look how he can just make himself the center of attention. But it's not in a bad way. It's in a good way. He seems to be, I don't want to say fawning, but he seems to be enjoying watching this take place.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely... The smile just barely starts before it cuts away back to Russell sitting on the floor and the people around him. And the smile gets even bigger after they do this wave. You know, he's going to smile for the wave, of course. Mm-hmm. But there's that smile that is starting just prior to that. And you know, yeah, I mean, he's very, you know, I mean, he's... It's almost like he's Jane Goodall looking at the gorillas, you know, at the apes, you know, some kind of scientist, you know, in this, you know, unusual area, another planet or something. Who knows? It's pretty weird. But you know, he continues along this route, you know, in this night that, He's you know, it's hard to imagine that he picked up a beer and drank any of it, let alone anything else. I mean, he just totally stays out of, you know, having any fun, at least the fun that a lot of us know as being at a party, you know, mm-hmm. fun to him, I guess, must be, you know, observing Russell. You know, and getting information, getting, you know, it was starting to be at the beginning of the last minute, getting to know Russell and actually even being able to converse with him like a, you know, kind of somewhat normal human being. But that quickly got cut off and they got invited to this party.
Okay, I've got a question. I'm going to ask Megan this.
Yeah.
Because when we cut the scene where they do the wave and he's sitting down and they're all, and he's got the gaggle of girls all around. And is he doing this because.
Oh, yeah. And he kind of did the.
Yeah, well, but I was going to ask just in general, though, in this moment, this little. Is he doing this because he is wanting to be around real people and he's enjoying it? Or is this the concept of the big fish in a small pond that. Right now, he is the biggest person in this room, so he is the star.
William strikes me as very much an introvert anyway. Like, as much as he's, you know, and he's kind of like a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a, not wall charmer, but like, you know, he's good at observing, I guess is what I'm trying to get at. So he's like, he's kind of likes being, I think what I'm trying to say, because I've been up since 4 in the morning and my words are not so great right now, is that I feel like he's a, I feel like he's kind of secretly an extroverted introvert. Like he definitely would probably, if you asked him, he's like, oh, I'm very kind of wallflower. I guess that's what I was looking for earlier. And so I think he has this like, he's like likes the attention, but he doesn't know what to do with it, if that makes sense.
Oh no, I'm talking about when it cuts over to
Russell. Oh,
I'm sorry. when it cuts over to Russell and Russell's sitting there with the girls around him. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Let me rephrase that. No, because I get the kid. Oh, I'm talking about Russell. Like Russell here in this shot? Because he's immediately in the middle of all these girls are all around him. And he's like, hey, there's my buddy. Is he really happy because he's with real people? Because nobody here looks like a model. Nobody here looks, you know, out, you know, they look like real normal people.
No, they don't. The girl standing next to William probably looks the most model-ish, if you will. And even then, she's still normal. She
is it because he likes the fact that he's blending in and doesn't have to put the act on? Or does he like the fact that he is the big fish in the small pond right now?
I think he likes that he's... I'm going with big fish.
Okay. That's kind of how I looked at it.
Like, I know he's...
And he was in big
fish. Like, I know earlier he's like, he liked the lamp and he liked the kitchen. And, you know, as you kind of said earlier, like, maybe that's because the hotel rooms start to look the same, you know, or slightly different, but same kind of look. But I think he kind of likes that he's, you know, he's almost famous, right? Like he can be himself, but, and cause he can let his guard down a little bit. Nobody, except for William sort of watching him like a hawk,
right,
for obvious reasons. Nobody else is like trying to blackmail him or, I don't know, maybe that's like thinking today's celebrity culture too. I don't know how vicious it really was pre TMZ, but you know, it just seems like he could just be himself and have a good time and hang out with these girls. They think he's awesome and he's like, heck yeah.
There you go. I'm curious your part, because I know what's coming up, but at this moment, is he the big fish in a small pond right here?
Yeah. Russell, I think, you know, I think it's a matter of that. He likes the attention, like I was saying earlier in this minute, you know, at the points, the certain points, he likes the attention. He likes to do what Jeff Beebe earlier in the movie, especially, was doing a bit with William, you know, kind of give these, you know, his thoughts on things. I mean, we get that next minute a lot here. You know, I feel like, you know, he could have been doing that somewhat with this on the floor. With mostly girls, there is this one guy who we have his back to us for most of it, except for when they turn to wave. But you know, I think it's a big matter of, you know, him liking the attention, but at the same time, he feels like he can get some points across, some, you know, some feedback, you know, too. You know,
okay.
Yeah, you know, I don't think he's all a one way or the other kind of, from his point of view, looking at things and trying to have some good experience that isn't what he's used to with the rest of the band and other people around the band, the Band-Aids and what have you.
Okay, it struck me as interesting because the way they frame it, it's like they're all circled around him, so he's the center of their attention, and it looks like he's happy. But at the same time, he will find out he also seems to want to be normal again, not the rock star. So it's kind of hard for me to tell which way we're supposed to look at this. Because for me, I kind of see it as I don't have to worry about being the star, and yet I'm the biggest star in this room. So I'm the most famous person here, obviously. But it just feels like it's a moment, the way it's framed. Hey, I don't have to even try. I own this room. Like, they're all around me. They're all surrounding me.
Yeah, I can understand that.
You know, it may be a dumb point. It just happens since we paused here. I was just thinking about it.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Rolling down Highway 41.
And then the one guy I was talking about, sitting on the floor with his back to us, I certainly feel like he's going to be, because I think he comes back with, at the pool scene, I think he's one of the people that we kind of that the camera kind of focuses on and gets some of his yelling up at Russell for the scene that I think you all know about. But you know, I'm almost sure he's going to be one of these others. You know, like three or four of these guys that I ran the names off of. I mean, this is their only credit. As Topeka Partier or Brian Vaughn, he has a few more credits, but you know, and I feel like that could also have been the initial guy that we saw driving the van even. But there's definitely three or four of these people that you know, get credited, but it's their only credit. And they just happen to get at least a little bit of a line out at one point or another during this movie. Mm-hmm. And that's enough to get them in the credits and so forth. Like I said, it's actually this point when this scene with him sitting on the floor ends, you know, with just, a second left is all. You know, that's when the song does change from Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere to Cortez the Killer. And amazingly, you know, there's actually these two words that we hear Russell get out, you, Aaron, and we're left with, you know, focusing on as I think it says, does it? Yeah, the script that I got says they sit in the bedroom of a mind blown fan, 17-year-old Aaron. He has long frizzy brown hair. You know, and we can certainly talk more about that crazy scene. This great next crazy scene coming up next minute. Anything else for this minute proper?
No, I think we definitely had a lot of talk around it and things that it triggered in us. And I love when a scene from a movie like this can cause the conversation to flow about our own lives and how it triggers things in us and then questions we're seeing. And so I've really enjoyed watching, you know, this guy that's wants to be a rock star, but at the same time is enjoying being in suburbia of nowhere in some house, some ranch home. And it seems to be just as happy in that environment. And it's kind of fun to watch this dynamic continue to evolve with Russell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would kind of think that maybe, you know, I at one point I wonder about any previous kinds of things like this where he's left the rest of the band. I mean, where, you know, maybe William wasn't, I mean, William wasn't with him. And before William got involved, before the story started, at any previous parts, where did he ever go off on his own? And like I said, last minute, I mean, we end up, you know, coming back to Russell getting on the bus and that bus scene happening. And everyone just seems so pissed off at him. And he's feeling really down because he's come down. but just for this minute, it's this big matter of this is happening after, you know, what happened a couple minutes ago, the 2 to 3 to 4 minutes ago, argument that happened, you know, over a t-shirt, over something as small and petty as a t-shirt, but really seemed to be for Jeff about everything. It means everything. It's a metaphor for how the state of the band and all that heaviness has just gotten Russell into this state where he wants, you know, to not have to think about all that stuff, to be in a different, state of mind. You know, and that means also being in a different setting, where things just aren't quite the same way they are, like you said, the touring life, where you're just in one hotel from another to another that are generally usually all the same.
You know, in terms of theme or tone right now, it also feels like he has more control. Like it's not so big. It's not so out of his hands. He feels like he's at home, ironically, in a home. but he's also at the same time, he can control what's happening more. It's almost like he feels like he's got more ability to manage the situation.
Well, I definitely have some thoughts about that. I think we'll save them for the next minute about staying in control. Something happens.
All right.
And it's the thing that's often said about any kind of whether it's alcohol or other drugs that people sometimes indicate they don't like those things either or both of those things because they lose control. They're out of control. They don't have the control that they're used to, and they don't like that to be the case.
Yeah. Well, as Homer Simpson once famously said, alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of man's problems.
Yep. Oh, Megan, do you have anything else?
Oh, no. No. They're all for next minute.
Thank you.
So, what I'm thinking of. So, I'll save them.
Thank you.
Leave your audience wanting more.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, Megan, what we'll like to do for this, get your ranking of the four bands that Alan did last week. I can tell you again real quick. They are the Allman Brothers, Eagles, Led Zeppelin, and Lynyrd Skynyrd. And you're going to rank them from favorite to least or vice versa?
Ooh.
Which way are you going to go?
Okay. Favorite to least favorite. This is tough. Oh, because it's like my dad's record collection, pretty much, in front of me. Like, our good chunk of it. Not all of it, but... Oh, okay. I'm going to go with Allman Brothers, because I feel like my dad and I listened to that a lot, so there's a lot of nostalgia there. And then Led Zeppelin, Eagles, and Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
I do like Lynyrd Skynyrd, but we played it way too much in high school dances. Yeah. To the point where it was like, oh God, here we go, Freebird, not again. We listened to this three times already, like this dance. Like, just, we're good. No? Oh, dang it.
That's a bad DJ. playing the same song over and over.
That's what happens when you let high school kids DJ.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's what happens.
So true.
Like, you give us a CD player and you have CDs, and it's just like, and go. And the parents don't want to be bothered. They're just on the corners being like, ugh, okay, nobody die, nobody do anything stupid, and this will be fine, right? Okay, good.
Well, and Alan, would you like to talk about your history with this movie? Like, the first time you saw it?
Yeah, I remember wanting to see it when it came out in the theater, and for whatever reason, I just never managed to see it when it was on the big screen. And I couldn't wait to get it on DVD. And so I got the DVD and just fell in love with the movie, the whole idea. I thought the performances were great. I thought the concept was great. The storytelling was great. And people must have agreed, because it was not only nominated for, you know, best screenplay, it actually won an Oscar for the writing. And so while I wasn't, when I got it on DVD, I wasn't as much of a student of paying attention to things like cinematography and to the continuity errors or things like that. I just thought the story, just sort of a modern fable or a modern fairy tale of, you know, what it is to be a rock star, but what is it to be real? What is it to want something that may be outside of your grasp? And then, you know, the wanting to be true to your art or your craft, and from both the musician side and then the kid from the journalist side. And it just felt like everyone's searching for, ironic that we're going to be talking about it next minute, about, well, what is real? What is real? Is perception reality? Because if that's what people think you are, is it what you are? Or is it what you are when you're not pretending to be something else? And I think the whole movie is great about that, is reminding us that sometimes we all wear masks. We all put on a performance. We all do something depending who's in the audience. And I just think it encapsulates that sense of, we're always kind of on stage in some form or fashion. I mean, Shakespeare said, you know, all the world's indeed a stage and we're just merely players. So, I mean, it kind of captures that, to me, that sense of, well, who are we at any given time? Doesn't it depend on who's around us?
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm in a similar boat that I don't think I saw it in a theater either. But and it kind of grew on me over the years. I don't even know that first time I was totally kind of awestruck and, you know, dumbstruck, what have you. As I think it sounds like you were, but I think I was even telling someone a couple minutes ago about I think I was actually kind of the other big music movie of that year was High Fidelity. And because it was a book that I then went about reading, I was actually a little more into that for the initial few years after 2000. But then I've come around and I'm pretty sure I like this one a bit better. Hence, it's doing it movie by minute.
I mean, they're both good movies. I just think the story and the underlying kind of who are we as human beings, mm-hmm. I like right. The underlying messages of this movie, I think, come across a little bit more powerfully to me.
Mm. Yeah, the other one is just like a BuzzFeed article. All the lists. Top five this, top five that. Okay, well, going on a high note then. Yay, thank you. No. Megan,
aren't you going to ask Megan the same question?
let's get that from Megan next time.
Oh, okay, 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 okay. Hey, it's your show. You do it your way. No.
But this would be a great time for Megan, I think, to just go into some greater detail about her projects and give some social media handles and so forth for stuff too, of course, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure. So I did Mash Minute with Tierney Steele, who's one of my, we met in grad school and bonded over our love of MASH, because who else brings all 12 seasons of DVDs of MASH to grad school? We did. So you can find that at mashminute.com. We're on Instagram and Twitter, and we have a Facebook listeners group called the Post-Ep Listeners Ward. Get it? We like puns. And that's the only podcast I've actually really done. I've done some guest spots, surprisingly, with Tyranny usually. And I just found out this week I'm doing for my own library a podcast. So that's in the work, because I'm now the quote unquote expert, I guess, which is exciting.
Cool.
Except I never really have edited before. So I'm learning new things, which is exciting. And I have a Twitter, a personal Twitter, where I tweet about all kinds of crazy stuff. It's Meg's Charm. So it's MEGGZCHARM. Listen, when I came up with my Twitter handle, I didn't think I was going to be having to tell people what it actually was. So it's a middle school nickname. So my nickname in middle school was Megs. So, but I had spelled different because, you know, it's middle school and you don't want to just be MEG, right? You have to be special. So
yeah. Got it. No, it makes sense.
I guess that's me in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. Great. So speaking of some social media handles and so forth, my own personally, at Lucky Mustard, and then even on Instagram, at Lucky Mustardine, had to add that ING because someone else took that since I was a little later to the game for the Insta or the Gram or whatever the kids are calling it. Of course, there's the show's Twitter and Instagram. That is at Almost Famous Men for both. And find us on Facebook at our page at facebook.com/AlmostFamousMinute. And our group on Facebook, which is the best place, in my opinion, to just really get into discussions and so forth that are easy to follow and so forth with their posts and comments and threads, what have you. So that's the group on Facebook is called the Band-Aids Listener Society, and you should all come in and try and hopefully find us easy and ask to come in, and I'll get you right in. So anything else? Real quick plugs from you, Alan, if you'd like to mention something.
I'll just do this. We do have a listeners lounge ourselves, or we call it a listeners group for our listeners lounge. And if you want to join in on the conversation there, it is a politics-free zone. We just want to talk movies and entertainment and fun and have a goofy time and laugh. It is the Wilder Ride. Go to the Wilder Ride on Facebook. You'll see the little button to say join group. And much like with Eric, you got to answer just a couple of questions for us just to make sure you're not a Russian bot trying to get inside. And then we'll let you in. And it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks a lot again, both of you, Megan and Alan. So this was Minute 56, and we'll be back next week for Minute 57. Until then, it's all happening.
It's all happening.
I am a golden god! Yeah!
Queen of Hearts is always your best bet.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.